pastor with a hearty praise the Lord.
Carnal-wise, somebody told Pastor something. The pastor's talking to me. well, I can't receive that because I think somebody's been talking about me. But in the spiritual church says, speak, Lord, for thy servant here. And so last week, once we left service, God is still dealing with me about the golden calves. A golden calf is things that we put what? Before God. The problem with Israel is when Moses had went up in the mountain, he was there for 40 days and 40 nights, because they could not see. Right, that's why this Bible said, the just don't walk by sight, but the just walks by faith. Because they couldn't see Moses. They said, we know not what happened to this Moses, though. So they went to the second person in charge, Aaron, and said, make us a God that we can follow. Why? Because they could not see. The greatest challenge to living for God is stop trying to see and just believe. Amen? Because they could not see, they had Aaron make them a golden calf. And today, because we don't trust God enough to believe that God can do exactly what he said, because we don't see, we start building some golden calves in our lives. So this is what God was dealing with me about. I'm going to read this from the bulletin, if you all don't mind, if you haven't already read it. But nevertheless, it says, I believe that there are many saved individuals today who have also turned aside out of the way and are worshiping golden calves. If you don't walk in the right way, anytime you deviate from the path that God ordained, then you have turned out of the way. So they've turned out of the way and they're serving golden calves. No, it's not the same golden calf that the children of Israel set up to be their gods. Nonetheless, there are saved people who are worshiping golden calves. The golden calf was an idol which the people of God worshiped in place of the true and the living God. It's sad to think that many saints are right now worshiping a golden calf. How has saints of faith worshiping the Lord and serving them to be an option instead of a dire necessity? So when you're serving the golden calf, you wake up somewhere and say, maybe I go to church today and maybe I won't. Maybe I feel like it and maybe I don't. That's when serving God becomes an option. Hallelujah. As long as I breath, as long as I got strength, can't nothing keep me out of the house of God. Go and can't say it's your choice. If you feel like going, go. If you don't want to go, don't go. That look at somebody and say, it's a golden calf mentality. All right, I must be hitting the home. I'm hitting something. Nevertheless, we keep going anyway. Bear with me for a few minutes and I will explain what I mean by saints are worshiping golden calves. Saints today are worshiping the golden calf of success, the golden calf of employment, the golden calf of self-fulfillment, and the golden calf of prosperity. So success alone isn't a golden calf, but success that comes before serving and worshiping the Lord is a golden calf. The Lord told Joshua after he took over and was made and became the leading hand for Israel, he said, stay in the word of God. Meditate on it day and night. He said, don't turn to the right and don't turn to the left. He said, but you got to stay in the word. He said, man, as long as you stay in the word, Lord, thank you. He said, if not, God will make my way prosperous. And you will have good success. Amen. He said, he'll make your way. Who will make your way prosperous? Not I will make it, but who will make it? God will make it. And he said, you will have good. If you can have good success, then you can have bad success. Well, what's the bad success? That's the golden calf. That's you using God's word and serving God as an option and not a success, not not a necessity. Amen. So he goes on to say, anytime we choose pursuing anything ahead of coming to church, we can say yes. When we can say yes or no, then it is the golden calf of success. Anytime we choose overtime ahead of coming to church, once again, when we can say yes or no, what is it your power to do it? Amen. It says if you can say yes or no, then it is a golden calf of employment. Anytime we decide to stay home or participate in any extracurricular event, and the list goes from sports to shopping to going to the movies, entertaining friends, having fun, or just watching your favorite program, then, and that's ahead of coming to church, then that is worshiping the golden calf of self-fulfillment. Last fall, whenever we place getting our stuff, you know, that's what they say now, naming and claiming again. As it has been called ahead of coming to church, then sad to say we are worshiping the golden calf of prosperity. Our golden calves are anything only you can sincerely answer to it. As to whether or not you'll allow anything to come before your worship to the Lord. Can we say praise the Lord? And I'm so glad God gave you that before I knew anything. So can we just feel the calm mind? He's talking about me. I just can't be right. Well, how do I be right? Honor God in His Word. Honor what God has told us to do when in His Word. Stop allowing people to twist God's Word and won't get you to walk in obedience. And you say, oh, praise God, I'm saved. But there in your soul, you know that things are not right with Him alone. Amen. All right, now let's stand for our scripture reading. What is your golden calf? What is your golden calf? Anything you put before God, anything you put before worship, amen, is a golden calf. Let me tell you, I'll use myself as an example, because I didn't want to follow the golden calf. And Deacon Joe can confirm this. I was working and I was making $90 an hour. Sounds good, don't it? Sounds real good. $90 an hour. The company had me come all the way up to Sherbrooke, Canada, which is about 11 hours from here, because of some circumstances in the event. The guy said, can you be here on Monday? This was on a Friday. I said, yeah, I'm coming. I was hoping he just gonna give me money, but he didn't want to give me money. He wanted to give me an opportunity. And then giving me an opportunity, Joe, you remember the pictures today? We never forget. It looked like a flying saucer thing into my stuff. We didn't figure it out. But nevertheless, they said, listen, you did something that none of our engineers could do. In the back of my mind, I said, who did it?
I did.
Come on, who did it?
God
did it. They said, you did it, but I knew God did it. They said, listen, you did something that none of our engineers that we're paying all they said, listen, all we need you to do is come in and train you for 3 months. Your area will be from Maryland to Long Island to the first part of Rhode Island, all the way to Buffalo, the border of Canada. And they said, anything that happens in your region, you'll get paid for besides what you did. That was my golden calf. I mean, that golden calf was looking pretty good. And I wasn't even working. All I was doing was figuring something out. But that was my golden calf. So I had a choice. I could have done that. I could have done ministry. Yeah, I ain't going to tell you all. I just said I could have done it. And how many know when it's hard to get a couple of pennies in your pocket? That's pretty challenging. Pretty tough. Then there was a lady who was talking to me. She said, son, you went to Harvard College. You worked at GE and you had all this. And now look what you're doing. I just call it ministry. I said, but you don't understand, man. I know what God wants me to do. do what God wants me to do.
Right.
Yes, I've had so many job opportunities, and as I told, I know y'all standing there, this way, y'all about to fall asleep. Right before we started our church, my wife called a very big ministry and said, listen, I will give you a lucrative salary. Not only will I give you a lucrative salary, I will move you, give you a house, and give you all this, and you don't have to do nothing. And that would have been some of the other people, not y'all, who would have to go find y'all. You would have to find it. What? You will give me a salary? Move me? And I don't have to pay nothing? I said, well, that sounds, we both said that sounds good. Get away from this, get away from this, you don't mess up. But it was tempting. But I said, let me pray about it. So my spirit was not yet released. And most of those that were with us know that the temptation that was in the beginning of the ministry. So finally, he called back about a month ago, we went down there. And a month later, they had something going on over there. He called me in the car. He said, hey, what's taking you so long? He said, look what I'm offering you. I said, well, God can give me an answer. He said, well, I'm going to tell you what your answer is. God wants you to do this. I said, I did that for 31 years. I'm not going to tell you again. For 31 years, I let somebody tell me what God said to me. You better stay in God.
Yeah.
Amen. A lot of people fall in the golden calf, lost today. But nevertheless, Mark the 10th chapter. I don't talk most of my time away. But don't serve the golden calf. Mark the 10th chapter, verse 17 through 27. 17 verse read. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto them, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. A lot of people say he was saying that he wasn't God. You know what he was saying? You call me good, you're right. Because there's none good but God, and guess what? I'm God. That's what he meant. Amen? So we won't go back. We're going to keep going forward. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he did not say defraud not, but he was letting them know there is a tendency in you to make you want to be greedy. There's a tendency in you to make you want to be dishonest. So he's talking to the young man about what he needs to do to inherit eternal life, but in the middle of him talking, he's telling what your real problem is. You want to be dishonest. Right? Because the young man said, all of these that I kept for mine. But if you go back and read the Ten Commandments before God, it's not one of the Ten Commandments. But the law was dealing with the young man at his level with his issues, and the issue was something that was inside. Amen? So let me go ahead and finish. And he answered and said, master, all these have I observed, loved him. And said unto him,
one thing thou
lackest. Not a whole lot, but what? One thing thou lackest. Go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come pick up the cross. And went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus, looking round about, said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his word. But Jesus answered in him and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus looked. anything that we put before God. If we go back, and I'm just going to give you a few examples of some things that we're going to go over. Amen. If we go back to the 21st verse, it reads, "Then Jesus beholding him loved him." So what God did, he did not do out of anything but out of his sincere desire to help the young man. Because he what? He loved him. And said unto him, "One thing thou hast." How many?
One.
I wonder today if we were to do an inner examination of ourselves. Is there anything that we are lacking that's keeping us from getting into heaven? Is there anything we're lacking that's prevented? Is there a golden calf in the end of our lives? One thing thou lack. Alright, so now the Greek word that Jesus used for lacking is hysterio. It is a word that means last in line behind all others. Now this is what this means, lack. It means it's last in line behind all others. Only one thing is in last place in this man's life, but that one thing, he knew it was something missing. He said, "What lack am I?"
Right.
He said, "I know that I have not reached spiritual fulfillment. I know I don't have the peace of mind that I ought to have." He said, "Now I've done all the religious stuff, but there's something missing. What is the one thing that's missing?" Now, Jesus told him, he said, "Go sell." Right. He told the young man, "Do what? Go sell." The young man said, "Well, what's missing?" Jesus said, "I'm going to tell you what's missing. Then you will have fulfillment, you will have joy, you will have peace unspeakable and full of glory." He said, "Go sell." So our message today is, God is telling you your priorities are backwards. God is telling us today, our priorities are backwards. So he tells the young man what is in last place should be in first place. Because what was in last place was God. What was in first place was his riches. So the young man couldn't get it. He said, "You're lacking, lacking in your honor of priorities are wrong. You got it backwards." God said, "Now what was last and put it first. And then when it's first, I need you to reverse it and put it
last."
Then Jesus said, "The first shall be last, and the last
shall be
first." Listen, that's not in the Bible just to have some pretty cute court scene. But God is telling us there are times in your life you need to reprioritize. There's some times in your life you need to get things right. Because what you think is important, the Lord said it's not important. But I need you to be obedient to what I want you to do. And the young man went away very
sad.
Well, you just ask the Lord, "What do I need to do?" When he tells you, we have a mind to be obedient to what he says. Amen. We went over a few weeks ago, the word obedience, to hear, obey, and to do is the word shema. It means to hear, it means to obey, and it means to do. Shema, behold, O Israel, the Lord our God is that Shema. It means that you need to hear this, you need to obey it, then you need to do it. This young man could not Shema. This young man could not receive from God. He could not hear, obey, and then do. He heard. Hallelujah. But he couldn't go beyond hearing because his priorities were out of his perspective. He thought what is important to me should be important to God. But God said, "No, you got it wrong." In other words, God said, "Put away the golden calf. Put away that stuff that's preventing you from being all that I want you to be." Amen. The golden calf sometimes The Bible says Samuel was in the house. Samuel was in the temple. Samuel was in the church. He was going through everything. He was even doing the service of the Lord, but he did not yet know the Lord. So there came a point when the Lord began to call Samuel. He said, Samuel, Samuel. And he was trying to get his attention. But Samuel, hallelujah, is like a lot of us today. God has been calling you by name, and you keep running to amen. So God called Samuel, and Samuel went to Eli. And Eli said, son, go lay down. I did not call you. Hallelujah. And when Samuel went to lay down, the Lord called him again, Samuel, Samuel. Lord, thank you.
Hallelujah,
that you were suffering, but I said, I allowed you to fully trust God? He said, well, I don't see what God's going to do, so we pick up a golden calf. What is your golden calf? Let me just go just a little further. So get our priorities in order. Amen? Then he tells them in that 22nd verse, and he was saying at the same and went away grieved. For he had what kind of possessions?
Great
possessions. Now, if you look at the word sad, or he was sad, he used the Greek word stabnazo. And stabnazo, you know, is so important when you study God's word. Don't study it that it was just sad. But what was Jesus saying? Remember, Jesus spoke what language? Jesus spoke what language?
Hebrew.
Now the interpreters interpreted it in Greek. But Jesus was speaking Hebrew. All right, but the Greek word that they used was stenazo. And the Greek word stenazo really has to do with the weather. It has to do with the weather. So remember that, all right? He saw what was really there, a large cloud of an ego. The man's problem was his ego, right? Because he went along with the Ten Commandments as though they were right, but Jesus had a twist that the man missed. Amen? Jesus merely revealed what this man refused to acknowledge. The Lord revealed what he wanted, refused to acknowledge. His life was all about himself. His life was all about himself. That's why he was very
verses. I know we time is long, but I just want us to understand this within our spirit what the Lord was trying to say. So can we go to Mark the 10th chapter? Mark 8 chapter. I'm going to read verses 31 through 38. I won't be long, but how many of this want to be right before God? It doesn't look good to please anyone but God. Jesus said, fear not man, which is able to destroy the body, but fear him, which is able to destroy both our body and your soul is a body that lives on forever. I don't care what you did. Your soul will live on forever somewhere. Amen. Mark 8, 31 read. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan. For thou savest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. So Peter was allowing the devil to use him to reverse God's order. He was more concerned about the things that were of man than the things that were of God. So the Lord was telling Peter, I'm telling you, you got it backwards. Your priorities are wrong. How many of us are just there to please a person and displeasing the Lord? So the Lord spoke to Peter, verse 34, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, he said unto them, whosoever shall come after me, let him
deny himself.
Let him what?
Deny himself.
If you're going to follow Jesus, you got to do what?
Deny yourself.
Deny yourself means your priorities cannot be before him.
Yes.
I'm following Jesus, not you. I'm following Jesus. All you need to do is, Lord, I'm doing that. So wait, you got to deny yourself. Right? And after you deny yourself, what?
Take up the cross.
And
follow me.
Now, everybody living at that time knew the cross ain't held pretty like you got today. You put the cross around your neck, around your ear. You got it around your neck, around your ears. See, you got it in your nose. There's the cross. What Jesus did was, and they understood, the cross was a Roman thing of crucifixion. The cross was a cruel way of dying. So when Jesus said, you got to pick up your cross, that means you had to It's all about what God can do for me. God, if you don't do this, I'm not coming back to church. Reverse that. Say, Lord, what would I have me to do?
To God.
The golden calf is taking you
away.
away from God. Can I just have one more minute? Let's go back to Mark, the 10th chapter. We're going to finish on the 27th verse. The 27th verse of Mark 10. I just pray that what we need today, don't do nothing for me, because I can't do nothing for you. Do it for God. What do we do for God? The old song said, "Dear Lord, I come. Dear Lord, I come.
With all
and I have
but one desire.
All I have
is on the altar.
And I pray, Lord,
send the fire.
If you put something on the altar and God don't send the fire, then he does not approve. He does not receive it. Anytime in the Bible when God received or approved of something that was on the altar, he sent the
fire.
We need to ask God to send some fire. And then when we look at our altar, we need to say, hey, that thing is still there. So God does not want that. Mm-hmm. Here's the praise of the Lord. Verse 27 says that Jesus looking upon them said, with men
it is impossible,
but not with God. For with God, the Greek word is para, P-A-R-A. I just want you to understand this. You know what he's saying? He said, now, what this with mean is, it's like a father talking to his son. And the father tells his son, can you see what I'm trying to tell you? And the son said, Dad, I can't see it. You with me? Listen. So the father is showing the son something, and the son said, I can't see it. So the father said, I need you to get closer. I need you to get closer to me, so you can see what I'm seeing from my proximity.
Amen.
He said, I need you to get close enough, son, so you can be close enough to see what I'm trying to show you. This with me, some of us are too far from God.
Amen.
So in order for God to do the impossible, you gotta get
closer.
You gotta get closer to God. Yes, God can do the impossible, but he can't do it as long as you're too far.
Amen.
He can't do it if you're too far away from it. Let's see what God wants you to see. We got it all backwards. You want this out.